I remember the day when we walked. I remember hearing the stories of the neighbor's farmer having to go out in the middle of the night pulling people out of the mud. So mud season is nothing like they used to be. What's different is the expectation of the public during mud season. That is what's changed the most. People accepted walking when I was a kid. They parked and they walked. They might have been upset, but they accepted it. They knew that was the part of life where we live. Today is different.
From Vermont Public, this is Brave Little State. I'm Sabine Pooks. And this is Keith.
I'm Keith Gadapi, and I live in Danville.
And where are we right now?
We're at the town garage.
Keith Gadapi has lived in Danville his whole life. His father was a road foreman, his brother was a road foreman, and Keith, too, is a road foreman for the town of Danville, which, by the way, has more dirt roads than any other town in Vermont. You might remember Keith from a previous episode we did back in 2022 about mud season. Keith told me he heard from a lot of people after that episode aired.
So, I didn't ask you.
Yeah.
Why did people love that interview so much?
In case you didn't catch that, Keith asked why people love that interview so much.
I'm thinking, why would anybody want to listen to hear about mud? But I can't explain it.
He doesn't really get it. But I get it, because I love hearing Keith talk. When I visited him in Danville earlier this month, we talked for almost 2 hours about his childhood.
I grew up, believe it or not, on a blacktop road.
Family.
There was a lot of Christmases that we couldn't open our packages Christmas morning because my dad was plowing snow.
About how he can't listen to the radio when he's working.
I'm focusing. I don't want to be distracted with that.
And how he feels like he's average at a lot of things, but not really good at one thing.
Wouldn't it be cool to be good at something?
And of course, we talked about mud.
What is your personal relationship to mud?
That's a great question in that, you know, it's kind of like you got to know when to stop and just leave it. Mm. Or there's times where you can fix it. Mm-hmm. And that just comes with time and experience.
Hopefully, you're all still as eager to hear Keith talk about mud as you were 2 years ago, because today is a rerun of that 2022 episode, which we called Mud Season Madness. Executive producer Angela Evansy interviewed Keith during a particularly horrific mud season.
We have got a lot of mud in all corners of the town, creating nearly impassable situations.
At that time, Keith also answered lots of your questions about dirt roads and mud, and we're replaying that interview here. Later on, we'll check back in with Keith about this year's mud season, or mud seasons. You'll see what we mean. Brave Little State is a proud member of the NPR network. Welcome. When we come back, Angela and Keith.
Thanks for listening to Brave Little State, where we have support from Horsford Gardens and Nursery, Charlotte. Local growers cultivating native trees, perennials, and flowering shrubs for spring planting. Helping visitors find inspiration with seasonal display gardens. Delivery and planting available. HorsfordNursery.com. And Sunset Lake CBD, a farmer-owned business crafting CBD products right here in Vermont. Learn more about their sustainable farming practices, delivery options, and how to support local farmers at sunsetlakecbd.com.
So, yeah, I've got a list here in front of me, and we'll just go through, and I'll share the listener question, and I'd love to get your take on it.
Sure.
All right. The first question comes from Jeffrey Bach.
My name is Jeffrey Bach. I live in Craftsbury, and my question is, why are so few roads in rural Vermont paved?
Well, that's a great question. I think it all comes down to, you know, the objective of the town, you know, whether or not they feel that the traffic level is high enough to warrant a paved road. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I also think, you know, Vermont is known for its back country roads, and that alone is also maybe keeping more roads gravel in Vermont and less paved roads. So, I mean, yes, speed is always a factor, but the use, the traffic volumes, things like that, you know, I think plays a bigger portion of it. Of course, cost does as well.
Ah, yes. And we definitely have some questions later on about costs. But for now, moving on to some questions specifically about mud season.
Hello, this is Michelle Morris from Jericho. And I'm wondering, what is it about Vermont's soils and climate that make our roads so prone to frost heaves and tire swallowing muck during spring mud season?
So in Danville, and that's what I can speak about the most, our soils are very clayey and have a lot of silt and loam and things like that that are not good road-based material. And so, unfortunately, this creates water-holding material that, when frozen, obviously expands and ice builds. And when that material thaws, because there's so much water and under the road and it can't escape through the ice, the water has to come up. And the water comes up, and of course, then we travel on it, and it turns the road to very muddy situations. So the freezing and thawing, and the fact that there's a lot of water in the roadway that is frozen, this creates the mud in the spring when it thaws.
Mm-hmm. A similar question, Ellen Starr wrote in and asks, "What can we do about the roads in Vermont? Isn't there a technological solution to our horrific potholes at this point?"
Well, I mean, yes and no, you know, and I always call it kind of battling Mother Nature. She throws us a lot of curveballs to try to hit, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming. I mean, yes, the answer is yes. There are many different aggregates that can be used in some situations, but, you know, since the beginning of roads, there's been mud and there's been potholes. You know, if we choose to live or on these gravel roads, we've got to expect that, because a lot of times Mother Nature gives us a challenge to make roads perfect all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there is such a thing as roads that can be perfect all the time?
Absolutely not. And we can talk about paved roads as well as gravel roads, is that the freeze-thaw situation in the soils in Vermont, there can't be a road that's perfect all the time due to either those things or just, you know, the traffic. Things wear out.
Yeah. Well, our next question comes from Coco Mosley. She has been a question asker in the past for a question about the pros and cons of heating with wood. But today, Coco asks,
"Hello, this is Coco Mosley from Lincoln, and I'm wondering how potholes and washboards form. What's the science behind these unique architectural features on our roads?"
I think there's several things that play the part of causing potholes and causing washboards. You know, obviously the freezing and thawing at different rates in different areas of the road are going to create, you know, swells and sags as things thaw out. So that definitely plays a part in it too. I think another thing that plays a big part of it is the water, whether the water is staying on top of the road as cars drive through it. And every time a tire hits this little sag in the road, it creates a huge amount of force pumping the water out of the sag and bringing fines with it, creating the hole to get slowly deeper and deeper and deeper as more cars go over. So that definitely plays a factor in it too, is traffic amounts. And then as far as washboards, we see washboards a lot in the summertime, dry washboards, I call them, where, traffic is going down the dirt road and the tire kind of is pushing the car along, trying to spin a little bit maybe and turn up and ruffle up the wear surface. And then the next car comes by and it makes it a little worse, even though there might not be any water in these washboards. It creates a little what I call a chatter. Quite often you see this going up a hill because the car, you know, kind of spins its way up the hill and creates, once a little one starts, and then it gets bigger and bigger over time.
All right, our next question is, I have a feeling you could probably give me a very long answer to this question or a short one. So let me play this question from Jackie.
Hello, my name is Jackie Spain and I live in Wallingford, Vermont. My question is, how does Vermont maintain all these gravel roads? I'm surrounded by beautiful gravel roads that I walk on all the time, but it seems like they must be so much work. Smoothing out the ruts, filling in the gullies. How does Vermont do it?
That's a great question. You know, obviously the town crews are geared up with equipment to maintain gravel roads. I think all towns are in the same boat in that, you know, budgets are never big enough to support the aggregate that you lose in a season, to keep them up as good as you know they could be, so there are hurdles financially. So I think the simple answer to that question is the towns are equipped and are geared up for the amount of highways that they have to keep some level of maintenance for these roads.
We'll be right back.
This episode of Brave Little State has support from Vermont Fish and Wildlife, conserving our grasslands with public support through the Vermont Habitat Stamp. Learn more at vtfishandwildlife.com.
We are now going to transition to some questions about finances.
Hey, BLS, this is Rich Grogan from Reading, Vermont.
This is Nancy Wilson.
Hi, my name is Amanda Skull, and I live in Westminster, Vermont.
We're in the middle of mud season, and every mud season I'm told that it is, quote, more expensive to pave the roads than to constantly repair the dirt roads. Where is the data for that?
Every mud season, I find myself wondering, how does the cost of resurfacing and maintaining dirt roads compare to the cost of paving them?
And what makes a town decide to leave roads unpaved? And are they cheaper to maintain?
So, again, it's a little bit about town objective, you know, of how much money they want to spend on roads with certain levels of traffic and service, you know, required. So I can only speak about what we do in Danville. But to give you an example, you know, we divide our budget into different classes of road. Generally, class 2 roads are paved, and generally, class 3 roads are gravel. And if this helps at all, you know, my class 3 budget is about 40% less than my class 2 budget. And that class 3 budget has 4 times the miles of road on it than my class 2 budget does. And why that is because blacktop is very expensive. It's very expensive to install. And so when you choose to do, let's say, a mile of blacktop, that's a huge hit versus a mile of gravel road.
All right, our next question is,
who gets to decide if a dirt road gets paved? Thanks.
Okay, so to pave or not to pave is, you know, solely relies on the select board of your town or however you are organized, and obviously input from the townspeople and from the road foreman or road commissioner, however your town is structured, you know, whether or not to pave a road or not. You know, so there's no really, you know, formula or anything that they use.
Is it something that eventually would go to voters to say, you know, oh, we definitely want to keep this road dirt, or, oh, we can't handle it anymore, we want to pave this?
That definitely could happen. And again, depending on your select board, you know, that definitely is probably a good way to do that. I know in my experience, we've had townspeople come in requesting, you know, a certain road to be paved. And believe it or not, I've had townspeople requesting it not be paved as well. So, I mean, there's two sides to every coin for sure, and there's many opinions out there.
Hi, my name is Steve Gladstone. I live in Hinesburg. My question is, what are the pros and cons of dirt roads versus paved roads?
The level of service on gravel roads definitely is different on paved roads, you know, in all four seasons. For example, today, you're not going to be able to drive everywhere you want to go on a gravel road because the wear surface is now mud and is, you know, nearly intravelable in many areas. Whereas today, you can drive anywhere you want on a blacktop road. So there are definitely levels of service, definitely different driving conditions that all play in the decision making of whether to pave a road or whether to maybe keep it gravel.
All right, well, let's go to our last question from Ed Green.
My name is Ed Green, and I live in Westford, Vermont. My question is, why do some people in Vermont prefer dirt roads over paved roads when some dirt roads are so bad in mud season the school buses get stuck? Spoiler alert, some people will use speeding cars as a reason against paved roads, but those same people complain about speeding cars on their dirt roads.
You know, that's a fantastic question in that, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, you know, why people respond in different ways. You know, first of all, some folks I've heard, you know, I moved to Vermont because I wanted to live on a gravel road because it's quieter and you know, less traffic and less speeders and things like that. So I think this question is kind of beyond me because it's more or less figuring out people rather than figuring out the roads. You know, we have the same in Danville, you know, people want to live on the back road, but they also don't want people going fast. And so, you know, there's some things we just can't control. That's probably the most difficult question of the day right there.
Well, let me ask you personally, do you live on a paved road or gravel road, Keith?
I live on a gravel road, and my road was impassable this morning by most vehicles. They were parked at the bottom of the road, you know, vehicles that have low clearance and things like that. But again, it was all about choice. When I chose to build my house where I did, I was willing to accept the fact that, hey, there's going to be times where I can't get out or I've got to gear up my choice of vehicles to be able to get out in all conditions. So it's all about the choice of what someone wants. I think most folks don't understand what mud season means for a road crew or a town. You know, when it snows in the wintertime, we can respond to that hazard by taking our snow plows out and plowing and sanding the road. Or if it's an ice storm, we can go out and sand. Or, you know, if a tree comes down, we can go out and we can clean that tree up that fell across the road to get rid of that hazard. Mud season is way different than that. Think about how we fix mud. We take heavy equipment out on the muddy roads that weigh 30 tons, carrying gravel and stone to this desolate place that needs a load to fill in ruts or to fill in a soft spot. And to get to that spot, we might travel 3 or 4 miles to get to it on these soft roads. And if you can imagine a 30-ton truck traveling 3 or 4 miles to get to this spot, we're doing more damage getting to the bad spot than we would by not going. Mud season is the only season that our hands are kind of tied. So it's hard on the mind. It's hard on my guys because they want to make everything good. We all want the same result and make it travelable roads and make it decent for people to go. But there's some times, and this year is a prime example, when everything kind of fell apart all at once, where we can't respond to the hazard like people might think we can.
Keith Gadapi talking to Angela Evansy in 2022. That year, you might remember, was a particularly bad one for muddy roads. What about this year?
Yeah, we had several mud seasons this year, for sure, for sure.
We're back in Keith's office in Danville. You'll hear members of his crew working in the background.
I mean, we had many thaws this winter that caused mud season. A very strange year that way, in that we actually had to, you know, do springtime work in the middle of the winter. So this year for us was costly in that, you know, we had to buy aggregate and things that we don't usually buy in December, January, and February. We're usually buying them in March and April.
Those frequent freezing and thawing cycles haven't just been a problem for Danville. The town of Barnard recently established a roads committee to address what it sees as worsening road conditions there. And at the same time, as Keith mentioned, people have higher expectations these days for their roads. But this mud season is almost over. Now that it's April, it's starting to finally feel like real spring. Keith makes maple syrup and just had his final boil. He's now hearing the birds singing outside his house again. And the roads are drying out faster than they usually do this time of year.
Yeah, we have those still those nagging roads up through the, you know, the coal woods and along the rivers that are still, you know, showing their head. The mud is still there. But it seems that we are ahead.
So when is mud season going to be over? And how do you know when mud season is over?
That is a fantastic question. I happen to live on one of the very muddiest roads in town. It's very late. When the water disappears is when mud season ends. Right now we're driving on some areas of road where there's always water on them. Okay, and what that is the frost is still in the ground, okay, and the water can't go down and dissipate. It's sitting on top. Mud season ends when that water disappears, and it happens overnight. A lot of times, you know, the road that you've been working on or watching or riding on or whatever, it's just wet, 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 constantly, and you just can't. You'll wake up one morning, a lot of times it's in May, the water's gone. Mud season's done.
That was Danville Road Foreman Keith Gadapi. A massive thank you to Keith for talking to us again and answering more of our questions. You can find photos from the episode at bravelittlestate.org or click the link in our show notes. While you're there, sign up for our free newsletter and ask a question about Vermont, our region, or its people that you want us to explore in a future episode. We're also on Instagram and Reddit at BraveStateVT. The original episode you heard was reported and produced by Angela Evansy. Questions from Jeffrey Bach, Michelle Morris, Ellen Starr, Coco Mosley, Jackie Spain, Rich Grogan, Amanda Skull, Nancy Wilson, Steve Gladstone, and Ed Green. This rerun was reported and produced by me, Sabine Pooks, with editing and additional production from Burgess Brown and Angela Evansy, who's also our executive producer. Our managing editor and senior producer is Josh Crane. Our theme music is by Ty Gibbons, other music by Blue Dot Sessions. Brave Little State is a production of Vermont Public and a proud member of the NPR network. If you like our show, you can make a gift at bravelittlestate.org/donate or leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back soon with more people-powered Vermont journalism. For now, good luck on the roads.